welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. And we are live on the air from 8 p.m. until 11 p.m. every weeknight. And then, and also we have special events coming up, like our Commerce Casino Poker Tournament. I believe, and don't quote me on this, even though I'm going to say it, but I believe our next tournament will probably be around the 15th of January. So we're about 90% sure it's going to happen. So please keep listening to the show, because the moment we announce it, that's when you should jump in and email us to get your best shot at playing in that tournament. And everybody loves that tournament. I get calls from everybody. It calls from Phil there with KFWB. He's going to stop by.
Oh, nice.
Everybody loves that, man. Everybody. All right, Dr. Reef is with us. Nice to see you, Doctor.
Hey, good to be here.
How are you?
Good, I'm doing well.
All right. Now, Dr. Reef joins us, I guess, every Monday, right? Sort of a regular thing.
That's what it's looking like, yeah.
And he is an addiction medicine specialist specializing in sex, drugs, and relationships. And if you're having sex, perhaps you like drugs, or maybe you're in a relationship, you can give them tools to help them out.
I'm their man.
Excellent. All right, but please, as always, feel free to chime in with Gina Grad doing the news. It's the news with Gina Grad, everybody.
Now, from the 97.1 newsroom,
Gina Grad.
Here's Gina Grad with the news.
Because that's my fun day.
There you go.
I do love a good Monday.
Yeah. Is that really your fun day?
It is. I have a lot of fun on Mondays because I know I'm looking forward to a great week here at the show, Tim.
Jesus Christ.
Cry all weekend long and then I get back on the saddle on Monday.
You know, you love your job when you look forward to working as opposed to the weekends.
Can I tell you that this is the first job I've ever had that I felt like that?
Is that right?
Ever.
Yeah.
I've had some depressing jobs.
Do you know how few people can actually say that?
Is that right?
Oh, I can't remember the study, but I read a study that the percentage of people that are actually satisfied with their jobs is like less than 20%.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you surprised?
According to this one study, which is pretty bad.
I thought it would go up because you get all these guys like who worked for Google, they've got a cafeteria, childcare, they can bring
Health
their
club.
Dog, they got that Nerf basketball. That always seems to be a product of Hollywood. Every time you go into like a producer's office, like, oh, I got my Nerf ball,
I'm here for the meeting. Yeah, come and meet us in the table tennis room.
The table tennis room. Listen, Nerf ball and table tennis will go a long way for job, you know, appreciation.
And people ask me all the time, like, they're like, so what's going on with you? And I say to them, and I surprise myself every time, I go, you know what? For the first time in my life, I can tell you, I can't complain.
Is that right?
I'm pretty happy. Yeah.
But we used to work at another facility. It was up the street a little, 3580 Wilshire. And we were the only station there for a long time.
Yeah.
And KRLA joined us for a while, and then they weren't with us for a while. But when we had our own station, our own building, it was a lot more fun. Here, it's a little more serious because you have, you know, five radio stations. You got K-Earth, you got The Wave, you got us, KLSX, 97.1 FM Talk. Then upstairs, you got two great news stations. You got KFWB and KNX. And so you have to sort of be very corporate and watch what you say and watch, you know, who comes in stripper-wise and porn chick-wise.
Yeah.
But back in the old building, you never had to think about any of that. You know, there was posters. It was like working at a body shop.
Frat house.
Yeah.
What would you guys wear when you were on?
Costumes, basically this.
You know, any kind of.
But when chicks would come
days.
In, you know, we can't do it here in this facility because, you know, there are so many stations around here. But when chicks used to come in on the show, if they were strippers or something like that, they occasionally would sit there and do the entire interview topless or naked.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of drinking going on in the air. It was a lot of fun. But then, you know, you move up here, it's a lot cleaner. It's a lot nicer. But you do get complaints every once in a while if naked broads walk
around. See, that would have been interesting if I were your screener back then because I'm incredibly competitive.
Yeah.
So there would have been a lot of bare breasts in the studio. You would have been horrified.
Oh, ba-boom.
Yeah.
All right. What else is going on in that news?
On that note.
Yes. Let's go, Gina.
It's that damn competitive spirit. Well, leading the news tonight, President Bush got a startling surprise at a press conference in Baghdad yesterday when an Iraqi member of the media disrupted the event by throwing his shoes at Bush. Neither one of the pieces of footwear hit the leader of the free world as Bush was able to duck and miss both throws, but it did give everyone, including the Secret Service, quite a scare. Here we have audio of the great shoe throw of 08.
Here we go.
So what if the guy threw a shoe at me?
No, I consider...
Oh, that's not it. It's the next one?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
That was a good one, though.
Yeah. Not the guy who threw a shoe at me. Who's throwing shoes?
Who's throwing shoes?
It's a way for people to draw, you know, attention. I don't know what the guy's cause is, but one thing is for certain, he caused you to ask me a question about him. I didn't feel the least bit threatened by it. These journalists here were very apologetic. They were, you know, they were said, this doesn't represent the Iraqi people, but that's what happens in free societies where people try to draw attention to themselves. And so I guess he was affected because he caused you to say something about it. Now, in terms of the agreements, this is a major achievement.
There you go. All right, Randy, you got the shoe throw in there, right? All right, here you go. Now, what he should have done, first of all, I wondered, does he get his shoes back?
I doubt it.
You don't think so?
Those are probably evidence now.
Yeah, and who throws a shoe nowadays?
Well, they said that this...
Is that a Middle Eastern thing?
Well, this guy claimed that it was customary to chuck a shoe, your own shoe, at a political figure when you weren't feeling his vibe.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, in a lot of Middle Eastern countries, I mean, just generally... I mean, let's be honest. If somebody throws a shoe at you while you're on the radio, you're not going to exactly think they're loving you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's not a customary thing anywhere, but especially in the Middle East, it's like flicking somebody off. I mean, it's about that level.
Well, like Carolla said, I was listening to a show, this is months ago, maybe a year ago, but he said they have a whole set of insults in the Middle East that we don't use here. I'll take you and throw your mom to the donkey in the car if you ever do that again.
Yeah.
There's not a lot, you know,
that was a nice Middle Eastern accent,
thank you
by
very
the
much.
Way.
Really we just belt like away that. With the F words and the S words.
We're more direct.
Yeah.
That's very true though. There's a lot more of an indirect thing in the Middle East. Like when I went there, I went to Dubai for a while and I kind of roamed around a little bit and it was always, brother, my friend, bro, let me help you out. Come on, let's just sell you something. It's good for you, you know.
It's like that way in Beverly Hills too.
Yeah, it's kind of depending, you know, on Wilshire somewhere. But the thing is it's like they say things when somebody wants to be sarcastic with you or wants to rip you off, they'll take you in like they're your best friend. That's the difference. Here, we'll just, you know, you just give them an F bomb or something.
Right.
But over there, it's very much like this double meaning, you know, reel you in and then hit you hard when you're not looking.
That's what happened when I got my stripper shoes. They ended up being $100, but he put his arm around me when I walked in.
You know, when you throw, first of all, the Secret Service should never allow that to happen.
First of all, there shouldn't have been the first shoe, but there really shouldn't have been a second shoe.
No, I mean, he could have gotten killed.
Yeah.
There.
He was pretty quick, though. After that first shoe, he got that second one off real quick.
Yeah, but Bush's reaction, I mean, he ducked that shoe under pretty good for a, you know, guy who's been through 8 years of hell.
Yeah, but the response to make a joke out of it, you know, because he made a J, it was size 12. You know, I think if you're trying to do, granted, I'm not the president or anything, but doing foreign relations, if you're looking at the psychology behind that, you don't want to downplay it so much so that you're making fun of the people that you're trying to talk to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and didn't he say like, well, I didn't understand what he was saying, but I saw his soul. Wasn't that one of the other lines?
I don't know. I think this is what his response was here to the whole shoe thing.
That really hurt. I'm going to have a lump there, you idiot. Who throws a shoe? Honestly. You fight like a woman.
It does sound like him.
But if you're going to take shoe throwing and you're going to attach it to one gender or the other, it does seem like a real chick thing to do.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of guys when they're arguing with their wife take off their shoe and throw it at them.
The only person I've ever seen throw a shoe was my drag queen friend Kahlua Matthews, and she got really pissed and popped off all of her Lee Press-On nails, started pulling off her earrings, took her shoe off, and threw it at somebody.
She must have had a bad day.
She had a really bad day. So at least, you know, we know that the president of the United States and a drag queen react the same way when they're, you know.
Last I saw Sunday Silence at Santa Anita throw a shoe once.
Who?
And I had some money on him as well.
Oh. Oh.
You know, it's like a horse out of Santa Anita. That's the only shoe. And people throw horseshoes, but who the Christ throws a shoe at somebody?
Why stop at your shoes?
Yeah, why don't you throw your underpants?
You've got lots of other stuff on your body you can throw. You know, why stop there?
I would always be very worried about that because they bring in cameras. Anything could be in those camera cases.
Right.
He could have explosives on him. I mean, I don't know what the Secret Service was thinking about allowing him to go to, you know, to Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah. And isn't that, I mean, hey, I couldn't do it, and God bless him for doing it, but isn't that their only job? To protect
yes.
the president?
Yeah.
And nobody dove in front of that puma?
Well, I guess his lead Secret Service guy came up and he brushed him off because he didn't want to make a bigger deal out of it. But the Secret Service is crazy to allow him to go to Iraq.
Yeah.
And they're the ones that decide where he goes.
Right.
He doesn't really decide. You know, they say, hey, listen, you're not going to do this, you're going to do that.
Well, especially when you look at it after, you know, with Obama, with the election and everything else, it's kind of like everybody's waiting for Obama to do something. And it's kind of like nobody's expecting Bush to do anything. It's,
yeah.
it's just, he's just kind of there.
It is weird.
So it was a weird setup, I think.
Yeah. But anyway, so January 20th, we have a big change of administration. And if you think those Secret Service guys have their work cut out for them now, wait for all
started.
The lunatics to come after you know, Barack Obama.
Now, I have kind of a naive question. Do you pick your own Secret Service or they're appointed to you? Like, and do they span presidencies?
I don't know. I think you get to pick your guy. Out of a group of guys. I mean, you can't just pick, like, your butcher.
Right.
to be your Secret Service guy. I think those guys are pretty well trained.
So there's a pool, and you say, you know, you're my lieutenant.
It's kind of like Entourage. Right? I get the guys, hey, buddy, man. Hey, you want to be Secret Service?
You're Mari. You're Turtle.
Dude, look at those guns on you, man. Come on, do it.
And I'm not sure you pick the guy who you like the best. I'm sure you pick the guy with the best experience.
Yeah.
Or the most experience. All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
Well, the California Highway Patrol says the state's hands-free cell phone law is saving lives.
I don't believe that.
That's what they say.
I don't believe it.
Since the law took effect on July 1st, CHP officers in Santa Barbara County have issued 755 cell phone citations. Congratulations.
Jesus Christ.
Meanwhile, the number of fatal collisions has dropped 72%, and the total number of collisions in the county is down to 11%.
Well, wait a minute. The number of fatalities has dropped 72% of what? Of people using their phone?
Well, it just says fatal collisions.
Fatal collisions. I would like to challenge that.
Yeah.
Because I think that the reason why the fatal collision statistic went down is because, if you remember, in July, August, September, October, up until recently, nobody was driving.
Oh.
Everybody was off the road because the gas was, you know, $4.50 a gallon.
Totally.
Of course.
That's a good point.
Yeah, of course it's going to go down.
So, yeah. So at this point, they got to justify passing out 800 new tickets.
Right. I mean, have you noticed that since gas has gone down to $1.65 or $1.55, $1.85 a gallon, that now the freeways are
crazy.
Jammed again?
Yep.
Right.
It's unbelievable. You know, back when it was $4 a gallon, you get on the freeway and you go, wow, it's like old Southern California.
Yep.
Everybody's back. They're back, man. All right, what else going on in the news there, Gina?
There you go. A man has been charged with first-degree murder after shooting his boss at an office Christmas party in Vancouver on Friday.
Oh, boy.
God damn it.
Oh.
Police sounds like jacket and hit.
Yeah. Police allege that 61-year-old Eric Allen Kirkpatrick opened fire at the Tall Grass Distribution Limited Christmas party, killing 41-year-old CEO Benjamin David Banky. Banky was the CEO and of a natural health products company. At least a dozen employees had been celebrating when the gunman, who had been recently laid off, entered the party and began firing. The other partygoers managed to escape unharmed, but unfortunately, Mr. Banky was killed.
See, I think there's something to that. I don't think it's just the guy, you know, the guy, that crazy guy went in there and killed the CEO. I think if you don't have enough meat and you're a vegan, that you do a lot of crazy crap. I think it drives you crazy.
Yeah, because it was a health product store. Yeah.
So, because I remember the health food store that used to be on Ventura Boulevard near Van Nuys. And for like 10 minutes of my life, I was into health food and like really like trying to eat well and buy like supplements and stuff. And I'd go in there and these people were effing nuts. They were all clinging and crawling all over you and stuff, and they looked very ash white.
I was going to say, that's something they share with zombies, sallow and sunken skin, but a lot of energy.
But even nowadays, like I went into a health food store on up in like the Canoga Park, Woodland Hills area last week, and the people just work at vitamin stores are really effing weird.
Huh.
They're
clingy?
I don't know. They're almost not even human beings. They don't know how to connect with anybody.
Huh.
You know, especially the guy trying to sell like the body powder, you know, where you
Creatine.
You take enough of that crap and you build up muscle.
Yeah.
The creatine guy.
Yeah.
Beefcake.
What a lot of people don't know is, like, you can get encephalopathic if you have an abnormal level of ammonia, or if your electrolytes are off in your body, you can act different. And behaviorally, you will have some problems. Right. And people don't get that. People just think, well, okay, fine. You just got to take a certain amount of vitamins and do your thing. But yeah, if you're even anemic, your behavior might change. And so it's really important we keep things adjusted. But if you do too much or too little of something, it will set you off.
You know, I'm surprised that this doesn't happen more often. Because, I mean, if you figure there's about 325 to 330 million people in the United States. And you think the mental illness has got to be rising, especially in the recession and how crazy everybody is. I can't imagine that why we don't read about this every other day or every day in the newspapers. You know, people are not mentally, I consider myself fairly mentally stable, and I still have, you know, thoughts of, I'd like to kill that bastard, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, especially when you get into like a road rage situation and stuff like that. So if I have a decent job, I got a kid, I got a wife, I got, you know, things to lose, I even get to the point where I'm, you know, getting crazy with somebody. I can't imagine the guy who has, you know, a studio apartment somewhere in the valley in the middle of his, you know, hot box in Winnetka. I can't imagine every day of him not waking up going, I'm going to kill somebody today.
Yeah, I mean, there's different things that think about it during Christmas time. New Year's time, when you're supposed to have family, a lot of people that don't have family or are really bummed out and depressed or really anxious, you know, their level of symptoms goes up. And if we're in really down times because of the economy, or we're at war, or we're, I mean, these are stressful situations that are going on just generally in our country, and it's going to reflect on people in the country.
Well, is there a term for that, people that don't have family? Loners, right?
Orphans?
I don't know if there's like a medical term.
I'm waiting for you. Where are you going with this?
I don't know if there's like a symptom, or you diagnose somebody as mentally unstable because they're alone.
Huh.
Yeah, I don't know. I think those people, you know, people who are alone want a family, and people who have a family want to be alone.
I know.
You know.
Now, this is a morbid question, but do either of you think that this particular Christmas we're going to see the suicide rate go up from years before?
You think it is?
I don't know. Suicide rates, everybody's like, oh, yeah, it happens, you know, in the holidays. That's when everybody kills. It actually fluctuates. And, you know, I've read some reports where it's more in the spring. I've read others in the fall. It's hard to know. I just think I don't think you can predict suicide rates. You know?
I don't understand people going out with pills, you know, like laying on their bed, and all of a sudden they die in their sleep. If I were going to kill myself, I want to go out with a goddamn bang, man.
Literally. You know? It's because you're a guy.
I mean, even some guys, you know, they sit in the car and they turn the exhaust on.
Take a nap.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, you'll find that women definitively will talk about and attempt suicide more than men, but men will complete suicide more than women.
It's like everything. It's like everything, man.
There you go, right?
And women talk about it, guys do it.
Guys do it. And then men also will use much more violent means. Women will tend to do more overdosing on pills and things like that.
They don't want to disrupt anybody else's day. You know,
Guys
cleanup.
Will shoot themselves in the head.
They'll hang themselves and shoot them.
Both
ways are sad, but...
All right, we got to... Is that the end of the news?
We got one more thing coming up.
All right, well, let's pause here and take a break and come back with more Gino and the news. Dr. Reef is with us. He is a psychiatrist dealing in addiction medicine, sex, drugs, and relationships.
His job does not suck, Tim.
Get your freaking ass together here!
Sorry, Dougie, please.
Trying to help people here.
Trying to get it together here. All right, this is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk.
Everyone's feeling pretty. It's hot Thursday in July. Though the world's full of problems, they couldn't touch us even if they tried. From the park I hear rhythms. Marley's heart on the books. Tonight there will be a party on the corner.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Dr. Reef is with us. You can see him on his website, drreef.com, and spell out doctor. If you went to LAUSD, it's D-O-C-T-O-R, drreef.com. Specializing in addiction medicine, as well as sex, drugs, and relationships. Always nice to see you,
yep.
Dude.
Thanks, man.
And you're a young doctor, right? How old are you?
Yeah. I kind of late 30s action there.
Late 30s?
Yeah. Right.
I like that. I like that in a guy when he ballparks his age. I'm in my mid 40s.
Good. See, that works for you, too.
I'm in my early 30.
All right, and Gina Grad is with us doing news. What else going on in the news there,
Well,
Gina?
Finally, with Christmas just around the corner, those of you who are still scrambling for last-minute gifts might want to pay attention to this article I found on Yahoo. Some new gift ideas that have come out this year include the following. I thought I'd just throw a couple out for
Let's
you.
Let's go.
Squirrel foot earrings. The maker of the $65 earrings, lovedtodeath.com, also sell human tooth rings for $100. There you go.
Something nice for the monster in your life.
Yeah. You could name a bat, as in the flying mammal. The recipient doesn't really get to keep the bat, but he does have the satisfaction of knowing there's a species of bat flying around Central America that bears the recipient's name. Purdue University is auctioning the name rights to 7 newly discovered species of bats and 2 species of turtles.
So if all the stars are taken, you can name a bat after a loved one.
Yeah. Would you do that for Sophia?
No, because it's creepy.
Jesus Christ.
The creepy factor, I would.
Kids like turtles.
Like a dolphin or a turtle might be cool.
Turtle's
There's
cool.
There's 2 species of turtle up for grabs.
Yeah, I think I might name a turtle after. Why not just buy her a turtle and name it after?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess turtles come with a lot of diseases, though, huh? Is that right?
I'm not a turtle expert. I can't really tell you that one.
I like turn to the doctor like, hey, you know medicine, right?
Mr. Amphibian over there.
You know, I thought people like kids might get sick occasionally from having turtles.
You never know, maybe. But it's so funny, when you go to medical school, all of a sudden, like, everybody expects you to, like, know everything.
Oh, I know. I'm the same way. I run into a doctor.
Is this cheese bad? I don't know. You know, like, come on.
Like, I asked Dr. Reef during the commercial break. I said, when it rains, my knees hurt. He goes, well, I'll talk to you about that on the air. So we'll do that after the news. What else is going on there?
If the squirrel earrings aren't working for you, you can always go with poo jewelry.
But are they real squirrel feet?
Yes. But if you don't like those, you can log on to tellmewhereonearth.com. It's one of several outlets that sell necklaces and earrings made of shellacked moose droppings. Or send a family member an ornament made of reindeer excrement. This is sold at the Bloomington, Illinois Zoo. I know you like zoos. Mm. Well, finally...
And they're really out of thoughts at the zoo, huh?
Yeah. Just shellac it and...
Yeah, here's a piece of crap to hang on your tree.
Yes. I probably shouldn't say the last one because I think Randy and I were going to go in on this and get it for Soph, but you might want to sign off on this before we do it.
Perfect.
The tattoo parlor playset.
Pass.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
We have to give her a tramp stamp at 3?
It's for children 6 and under.
Get out of here.
6 and under. It comes with a play salon where kids can practice tattooing.
Jesus Christ.
Wait. I want to hear the tramp stamp theory. Now, do you
know
guys,
what a tramp stamp is?
No, I know exactly Bullseye. What it is. I know exactly what it is. But do you guys think that it's legit, that if a girl... Okay, yeah, I would love to do a... I'm all about the research, right? So I would love to do a research study where you get a bunch of girls with tramp stamps and a bunch of girls without,
right,
and you see who's more promiscuous. And
see,
I want to see if it's true. Yeah.
I think it probably is.
I think
any girls with tattoos are probably not going to care... You know, they don't care about getting, like, infections when they got the tattoo, so I think they might go the extra mile, if you know what I mean.
But do you think it's just a girl that has tattoos versus a girl that doesn't, or do you think it's specifically the tramp stamp? Because where it is, you know,
I'm not sure about that. And who is the tramp stamp for, since she can never see it?
It's for everybody looking south of the border, yeah.
Oh, boy. But it's like, you know, when you see a chick smoking cigarettes, if she has one oral habit, chances are she's got another one.
Hey-o.
You know? I mean, I think that's true.
So you think a woman with a nicotine dependence problem who's smoking a lot of cigarettes and has a lot of tattoos is good to go?
she might be more willing to jump in the sack sooner than the one who had, gone to Catholic school. Well, that's not a good example. Than the one who was... raised properly. How about that?
And might be more than
whatever
willing,
that means.
Willing to give you the hep than another girl.
Yes.
And her poo nanny.
I think that's right.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, ma'am.
I have no tattoos.
You have none?
And I have no piercings.
Really?
That's actually shocking.
Right? Never had my ears pierced. No tattoos.
Really?
Yeah. Thank you.
Did you ever want a tramp stamp?
No.
Do you ever, the girls who get their lips or their eyes pierced, I think is a 99% of the time. There are some chicks out there that are okay with it, but it's really unattractive.
The eyebrow piercing?
Yeah,
it's hot.
I agree with that.
Yeah, why if most guys think it's unattractive, why do they do it?
Show themselves as unique, show themselves as different, rebellion, making an overt
statement.
At
but don't you attract
individuality?
Lunatics?
Yeah, I mean it's like I did a big thing where I roamed the streets talking to people about all the women that wear like T-shirts that say porn star or whore or like
slut but in like spangly pink dazzles.
Yeah, slut and like
bitch.
Glitter. Like bitch or there's one high maintenance bitch.
Right.
I talked to a bunch of them. We looked at the psychology of that, and I'm like, are you really a porn star? And she's like, no.
Right.
I go, so it's false advertising. Why are you advertising you're a porn star if you're not a porn star? And she's like, well, I don't know. I guess I kind of like, I represent the porn star people.
What?
And I'm like, what does that mean? Right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, you know what it is? It's shock value. And I have to, for me to really get to know that individual, I got to get past the shirt, past the shock value. So in a way, it's like putting up a barrier, putting up a wall
right.
against you, the real person, by throwing out some crazy statement. I think, a piercing on your face is the same way.
Yeah, but why would somebody want to put any barrier between them and another person?
Because you don't want to be hurt by other people. You don't want to open up too much.
Is that right?
Man. Yeah. There's a lot of people out there that have these walls and this, I call it emotional armor, that have it so much emotional armor that it's really hard to get to know who they really are.
I think I have a lot of emotional armor, but I don't display it. I mean, just when you get to know me, you know that I'm a complete a-hole.
Yeah, you're stealth.
Not an a-hole. I just don't care. I don't have a lot of sentimental things. I'm not that emotional over stuff. I don't get shocked or scared.
He throws out pictures of his family.
Not of my family, of other families.
Yeah.
Like when I get Christmas cards of other families, I look at it. Hey, they're the kids. Bang, trash.
That's it.
Well, what are you going to do? Keep them all forever?
See, I'm bad that way, man. I'm like, I've got, that's, you know how we all have like a male side and kind of a feminine side? I'm into pictures, man. I'll collect pictures forever.
See, I think, I don't know if it's OCD or superstition, but I'm afraid to throw away photographs. I just can't do it.
So you keep all of your Christmas and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa?
Cards. Oh, yeah. All my Ramadan and Kwanzaa gifts, yes.
Nice.
Yeah,
and you keep them forever. So you got a box of all that
crap. I have tons of them. I'm afraid to throw away cards and pictures. I don't know why.
See, on my end, every card my mom's ever given me, I keep.
Aww.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why.
I think I have some, but I don't have.
I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
But I get the mood sometimes where like, F it, I don't need any of this crap. And I start throwing away a lot of stuff that I probably should have kept.
Hey, Tim, did your mom stop by that Just Because section of Hallmark a lot and just grab you a card just because she was thinking about
it? My mom?
Yeah.
No. She stopped by the I'm sorry I ever had you as a son section.
Why the F are there so many of you section?
Yeah.
What have I done wrong?
What did I do to deserve this? Yeah.
I do remember my mom on more than 1,000 occasions saying, I wish I'd never had any of you.
Oh.
And I guess that would be wearing and tearing on some people. Some people would just, fall into a shell and become just, vegetables.
Perhaps if the therapist that all of the Conway children, I would think, have given their money to would just donate that back to the state, maybe that would balance the old budget.
We're not a big therapy family.
No.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I would love to see you guys in family therapy.
Yeah, just a group
talk.
That'd
be great.
Half circle, everyone on the floor.
I got a brother who's in therapy, and I went for like 6 weeks once because it was free. The station paid for it. So I go. And I didn't learn anything in 6 weeks.
But then again, I really didn't.
That was when I was like, when I was like pretty happy in life. I went at a stupid time,
Yeah.
Not that miserable now, but I guess everybody could use somebody. But I don't know. I just never.
Yeah.
I think it's also for, people who were really, really effed up. I don't know.
I'm big on therapy. I think.
Of course you are. You're a psychiatrist.
That's what I do. I mean, I have
Jesus
to be, right?
Christ.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. But I think
it's like a guy who owns a bookstore. Hey, I'm big on reading.
No, but the reason I got into it is when people ask you about your childhood and they're like, "Tell me about your childhood."
Right.
Just like that.
Yeah, just like that. It's It's because they want to know what happened to you when you're growing up regarding your bonding with your parents, with your first relationships, with were you abused, were you traumatized, were you all this? Because not because they want it, they care, you know, solely about your childhood, but it's the way you react to people now, the way you interact with when you start, you know, if you were single or Gina, you're single, right?
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How come in every, I got a side note here. How come every woman in LA, if you ask them if they're single, pretty much.
Because you got one eye on your one eye out the window.
Yeah, what's up with that? But it's really about how you relate to other people. It's interpersonal relationships. That's it. So everybody, I think, at some point can learn something about themselves to be able to react with people or just develop self-esteem, self-confidence better.
And that's the thing. Yeah. It's all about just improving yourself, unless you're a perfect person.
We're not supposed
to be. You know, we're supposed to. And to have an hour of your time that's specifically geared toward you and improving yourself, it's pretty great.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that for people who are, like, you know, they're not perfect, but they're not completely effed up. I think that it could open up a lot of Pandora's boxes, you know.
And all I agree with that.
All of a sudden, you're like, "Whoa, wait a minute! I didn't realize that I'm that effed up." You're right, you know. Or maybe I start using your childhood as a crutch, like, "Well, you know, I, this is the way I react because of my childhood." And you start blaming a lot of things on the past.
I agree with that, but a good therapist will know how to work with that, open it up, put it on the table, and then help you to not necessarily get over it, but to work through it.
Absolutely.
So that you're so much better on the other side for bringing it out in the open. A bad therapist will go, "Yeah, your childhood was messed up.
And stop there.
Your dad screwed you over. He did, you know, you should never talk to him again." You know, and that whole thing. But a good therapist will know how to work through it.
Yeah, well, I think that's maybe what it is, you know, there are some bad therapists out there. Like, I went to this this woman therapist, and that's who I was seeing, not recently, I guess 3 or 4 years ago. But I was talking about my relationship with my wife, and I look on her desk, and I see there's a picture of her and two kids, and there's no husband in it. I'm like, "Hey, what's going on with that?" She goes, "Oh, those are my two kids from my first marriage." I go, "Oh, that's cool." So we're talking. I go, "What is that picture of that?" She goes, "Oh, that's my kid from my second marriage." Oh. "But there's no husband in that picture either." I said, "Are you divorced right now?" And she goes, "Yeah, I'm divorced. But I'm living with a guy." Oh. Like, how are you going to help me?
Did you switch chairs?
I shouldn't say that because she might be listening.
Get your act together here!
But she's the... I don't think I could have learned that. I didn't trust her. I didn't trust that she had any tools because she wasn't using them in her own life.
Well, that's actually a good point. Because let's think about this. Do you judge a therapist based on, you know, do they need to have a perfect, is it like a trainer? Like, if you look at a trainer and a trainer's built, does that mean they're going to be a better trainer for you? If a therapist is perfectly healthy, married, has two perfect kids and a white picket fence, does that mean they're the best therapist for you?
Maybe.
Are they going to relate to you at all if they have a white picket fence and they have a perfect family life?
Well, maybe they can show you how to get there. Like, if I went to a mechanic, and the mechanic, after the day was over, I went to pick up my car and it wasn't ready, and he drove off in a 1966, Chevette that was making 18 noises and smoke coming out of the tailpipe. I'm like, that guy's fixing my car? That guy can't fix his car.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? I think for you, Tim, I think it might also be a gender thing, because I could see you going to a really awesome, like, kick-ass, like, gruff kind of guy therapist and, like, relating to him better than, like, some random woman who you're completely not in sync with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, plus, I always feel that, and I know this is a probably something you've never done in your life, but I always feel that, like, those therapists go home and go, "You can't believe how effed up this guy is." And then they start telling the stories that I told the guy.
I don't think they do that. Can they do that?
Some guys do that.
I think the good ones don't. Yeah. But yeah, it just depends. But the bottom line
they
is...
They blog about it. Mr. C. Junior.
Mr. C. Code name.
Yes.
But a good therapist is someone who can empathize with you, who can understand you, who you can relate to, who knows their stuff, and knows how to guide and steer you in the right direction with empowering you to make your own decisions, you know?
Right.
So if it's a gruff guy with 8 million tattoos, fine. If it's a woman that, you know, reminds you of your mom, fine.
But don't you think that most people that go to psychiatrists just BS them anyway?
Well, I think if you're going into it for the right reasons and you're motivated towards really trying to help yourself, you're wasting your money unless you're honest with a psychiatrist. But yeah, I think there's certain people, and especially in the addiction world, there's some people that have come in because their mom or their brother or their girlfriend or their husband wants them to come in, and they're not honest with me. And I can usually tell pretty quickly. I'm pretty good at a BS with a BS meter, and I'll be like, look, man, don't waste my time and your time.
Right.
I mean, don't waste your money, man. Just do what you got to do. But I'm here for you to help you. But you got to be straight with me if you're going to do it.
Yeah. Like, I constantly lied to my medical doctor, the doctor that I go see anyway. I mean, I think that's guys just naturally do that.
What'd you lie about? Your prostate?
No, I lied about, I lied about what I eat, like, you know, my cholesterol is high. I'm like, oh, I can't believe it. You know, I'm eating pretty well. I get, you know, salads all the time. I just BS'd it.
I can honestly say this. If you came to see me and I was your doctor and I go, tell me about your eating habits, you're like, well, I eat salads every day. I'd be like, yeah, right. I mean, that doctor's got to, you know, he was writing something on his pad when you said that.
I don't know what he was doing, but I lie about, you know, I told him I go home and have, like, you know, a beer or two after work. And that's a lie. You know, I probably have more than that. You know, not much more, but more. You know, I don't have it like zero. And then he says to me, he goes, well, you shouldn't, be going home and having a drink at all every night when you go home. I'm like, well, see, that's where we part ways, my brother.
Jesus Christ.
What was the reason for him to say that?
He said
you shouldn't be drinking at all when you get home.
Well, because he's a doctor.
Is he supposed to say that?
Yeah. I mean, he's supposed to say, you shouldn't drink. I'm still looking for a doctor that says I don't smoke enough. Can't find any of those.
Good luck on that.
All right, we got to take a break here. We'll come back. That is the news with Gina Grad, everybody.
Thank you very much.
And we'll come back with more of Dr. Reif, and Gina Grad is with us. You can check out Dr. Reef's website, drreef.com, if you'd like to chime in here. And we're going to talk about holiday depression, which would be very exciting. Also, synthetic urine, how to pass a drug test, why my joints hurt when it rains, and do you get too effed up at your holiday party? Randy?
Yeah.
can I put
all
a
all right, let's take a break here while he kills us. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show, and we're live at 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. I say happy birthday to Michelle. Look at that.
Yeah.
John and Jeff Show's producer. Happy birthday.
Happy Feliz Cumpleaños.
She looks young. Is she 22?
Yeah.
23?
Mm.
Someone Carter.
Still quinceañeras-less, I believe. That's the term. No quinceañera for that young lady.
Oh.
Imagine Dad's pissed. Because it is for the parents. All right, Dr. Reif is with us. Also, Dr. Grad is with us.
Thank you. Honorary.
And Dr. Conway. Three doctors, man.
Wow.
And
doctor.
One crazy show.
Doctor.
All right, so, doctor. A lot of people go into holiday parties.
Yep.
And some get a little too effed up.
Mm-hmm.
What's that all about?
Well, some people want to think that, okay, it's celebratory, right? It's the holiday, you're celebrating.
It's a party. Yeah.
But it's a work party.
Right.
So I think some people, maybe say in the age of 22, 23, 24, somewhere in that ballpark, when you're young.
Right.
Randy, hi, how are you?
Hi, Reef. How you doing this week?
Good. How you doing, man? Local.
It's like a two-hour session with Randy every week.
Well, every week I've got something new to tell this guy.
I could definitely do therapy with Randy on a regular basis.
Gina actually had a pretty good off the air.
I did.
She had a pretty good, interesting thought that, you know, he's 23.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was 23, I was hanging out with the other 23-year-olds, you know, just getting drunk all the time, getting high and effing around.
Which is what you're supposed to be doing.
And now he's hanging out with 40 and 50-year-olds, and they don't find that very entertaining anymore.
Right. No, it's definitely something to consider. Also, you look at people have a hard time judging work from, like, your work is your work. Your partying is your partying. When you're doing a work party, you're now creating a hybrid of the two.
Dangerous territory.
And it's definitely dangerous territory because you think, oh, well, I'm in party mode. I can party. This is what I normally do. I get hammered. I go to Jack in the Box. I hire cabs. I do whatever I got to do, right? But that's not consistent with the work setting.
You so show up on Monday.
It's the party guy in the work setting, and it doesn't work if you go too far.
Yeah. Right. I like holiday parties, and the old ones were, again, when I was younger, I used to get really effed up at these holiday parties, and now I can't, because I know if I, you know, if I drink too much, I'll say something I probably shouldn't be saying,
yeah,
and, or I'll do something that, you know, it'll change the way people look at you, for a long time, too.
Absolutely. To if you are the guy who's like projectile vomiting all over, like, the Christmas party,
right,
like, with your boxers on,
right,
that will stay with you throughout your entire work career at that company.
Right. I think those guys either go on to be very successful or they
horrible
become
failures.
Homeless. Yeah, there's no, you know, in between for those guys.
Yeah.
All right, let's take some calls here. Let's talk to Jared in West Covina. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. Dr. Reeve is with us. How are you?
Well, I'm doing all right, I guess.
All right.
My question is for the doctor that, you know, I'm actually going to see a therapist with the public health system.
Uh-oh.
Out here just tomorrow I'm going to, and you know, like, one thing I was reading in the clause was that, like, the therapist might not have even be like a full-fledged dude. He might just be an intern. And I'm thinking, you know, by
it's
now,
like going to the barber college, you get your hair cut.
Yeah,
and it might not always be bad, but, you know, just like a barber
you've seen
college,
some of the cuts.
Super cuts.
Well, you know, I can't
hey, listen,
afford.
How I mean, you can't afford it. What are you paying this guy?
$10.
$10 an hour?
It's like a slide. Is it a sliding scale?
It's a sliding scale type deal.
You may. I hate to say this, but you may be getting what you pay for. You know. $10 an hour, he's not really that motivated to help you out with your problems.
Well,
he's just looking at the clock.
I don't think I pay the whole thing. I think, you know, supposedly...
Wait, so you're going for less than $10?
$8.95.
Wow.
I think supposedly, you know, some of your tax dollars pays most of that.
All right, let's ask Dr. Reef here. Are there some good doctors in the public?
There are absolutely some good clinicians in the public health system. The thing is you got to look a little harder. You got to ask around a little more. You got to say, okay, I'm in this. You know, here's what I do. If you're going to make an appointment somewhere and you show up and you ask the receptionist, you ask somebody up front and you say, you know, who's a really good therapist here? I'm trying to, you know, just hit it off with the right person. They'll help you.
Right.
They'll tell you who's really good. You know, you can work it through the system. Like Edelman Mental Health Care System is great.
Is that right?
And that's public based. And a lot of the UCLA trainees go through there.
Hey, how old are you, Jared? You're 23?
I'm 23.
What are your problems?
You know, I'm basically just become very unmotivated and,
smoking weed?
No, not at all.
Drinking?
Never actually. No, not even that anymore.
All right, you gotta do both of those. Now, what else is going on with you?
And, you know, I guess, you know, I'm pretty reluctant to be social, you know, in just everyday life.
Is this new? Is this recent, or have you always been like this?
That's fairly recent. I mean, to be honest, I've always had, you know, problems talking with chicks and, you know,
well, everybody
stuff like
does,
that.
Dude. I mean, at 23, you should be,
No, everybody really doesn't.
No, that's not true, dude. Everybody really does. All right, Doc, what do you think? You're the pro here.
Yeah, I mean, I'd basically ask you other things about, do you feel like you're depressed? I mean, is there problems with memory, concentration, attention, things you normally find pleasurable, you don't find pleasurable anymore, problems with sleep, problems with appetite, feeling hopeless, helpless, worthless, all that stuff. Some of that stuff kick in? All that,
yes.
All that, has it gone on for longer than a year?
No, it's like the last 2 months, but it's been getting worse.
Well, then call us in October.
Damn. Has there been a stressor or an impetus or some kind of reason for this to develop over the last 2 months?
I don't know. I guess it's kind of hard to say. You know, I graduated college in May, and I thought things were going to be like...
What college did you graduate from?
Cal State Fullerton.
Huh? Look at you.
And I thought things would be... You know, like, not easy, but not so hard that I feel like, you know.
Did Did you make a smooth transition coming out of college? Do you have a job? Do you have, like, where?
I was searching 2 whole months before I actually graduated, searching hard, and still didn't find anything.
In what field?
A month. All fields.
All fields. And how do you do it? Do you send in a resume or a letter?
I sent in resumes.
Yeah, that's the wrong way to go,
calls,
dude.
I went.
Everybody throws those resumes away.
I don't know how else to do it.
Well, you got to meet people and talk to them in person.
People don't like me in person.
Jared. That's cool. I like you.
We're not in person.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, why do people don't like you? What's wrong with you?
It's it for Gina's theory. Yeah.
Why don't people like you?
I don't know. I mean, I think I just have like a face that turns people away.
Oh, boy.
I'm no joke. I've seen that's happened a lot. I see people looking at me, and then they look at me, and I look at them, and then they turn away like. Not like a regular, like, I don't want him to think I'm staring, but like,
now, see,
like
I gotta see this.
Yeah, is it Rocky Dennis,
now
or what's
see
going
this
on?
Guy. I gotta see you, dude. Can you email us a picture or maybe MySpace or something?
Possibly. I don't think I'm that ugly, but.
All right, hold on. Let me put you on hold and put him on hold through the break here. I gotta see that, dude.
Well, I just want to say that I feel bad anytime anyone talks like that, and it's I'm sure his perception does not match what really happens. Yeah. But I think it's
a
good idea.
He has
a
self-esteem issue.
I mean, I think it's a really good idea that he talks to a therapist because you know nobody should be talking like that.
Well, let me one quick question. We gotta take a break. Is your mom an a-hole?
I didn't say that question.
Is your mom an a-hole?
Oh, God, that's such a loaded question.
That means yes.
Yeah, all right, I think I nailed that one. All right, folks, we'll come back. We'll continue talking with Jared here. Dr. Reef is with us, R-E-E-F, drreef.com. And Gina Grad is with us. If you'd like to chime in here, talk about a whole host of issues in the 10 o'clock hour, including holiday parties, how to beat a drug test, why your joints hurt in the rain, couples therapy, does it always lead to divorce? 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. You're listening to the very popular. Did I sell that? No. Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk.
Shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi, and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 971fmtalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.